الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد الذين آتيناهم الكتاب يتلونه حق تلاوته أولئك يؤمنون به صدق الله العظيم. In this world, there are two types of light. One is the physical light, which is required for every person to see, to be aware of his surroundings, to be able to identify the harms around him, the benefits in front of him, and to be able to gain guidance and direction and know where to go. Man is such that generally he is not comfortable in darkness. Man always craves the light. That is why when a person is seated in his home, which is a completely familiar environment, you can tell the man, close your eyes and describe the room. He'll tell you there's a cupboard to my right, the light switch is to my left, there's a plug point behind me. He can tell you exactly where everything is. Yet it's 10 o'clock in the night, he's seated in his home, and unexpectedly the electricity is cut. What happens to this person? He's in pitch darkness. 1 second ago, he could see everything. He knows that there is no harm, yet he still feels uncomfortable. He will immediately look for some sort of light to illuminate the area around him. Whether it's a cell phone light, whether it's a torch, whether it's a candle, but he does not like the darkness. He can be in the most familiar environment, but with darkness, he feels uneasy, he feels anxious, he feels uncomfortable. The second type of light is not the physical light that we see, it is the divine light and radiance known as Nur. And just how every person requires physical light to have guidance, for his heart to be at ease and comfortable, for there to be harmony, every person needs this Nur in his life, to have guidance and direction in his life, to be able to please Allah Ta'ala, and also for there to be harmony, happiness and barakah in the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. So how a person seated in that home feels uncomfortable when it's pitch black and there's complete darkness? If a person is in a home, but that home is filled with the darkness of zulmat, and is completely void and bereft of Nur, this person's heart will be very, very uneasy and anxious. That person can have all the comforts around him. He can have the air conditioner, he can have the best couch, he can have the best of beds and pillows, he can have the best blanket, he can have the best carpets, but that man will not find any sukoon or happiness or tranquility, because his house is filled with darkness, there's no Nur in that home. So the question is, how does a person bring Nur into the home? Today there are many houses, but many people feel that the house has not become a home. In other words, a person does not find any comfort in that home. He does not find the happiness, the tranquility. When he goes home, instead of finding a loving environment, a peaceful environment, when he goes home, it's like entering a war zone. Either he's going to be fighting with his wife or he's going to be fighting with his children. There's no harmony and happiness. The hearts are not united. There's always something to gripe about, something to be unhappy about. The children are complaining about the father. The father's complaining, my children are like this. The wife is complaining, my husband is like this. Because all of them are suffering from the ill effects of this darkness in the home. There's no Nur in the home. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, Nawwiru manazilakum. Illuminate your homes with Nur. But how does a person do this? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Bis salah wa tilawatil Quran. Through through performing salah in your home and reciting the Qur'an Majeed in your home. Now for us to understand correctly, performing salah at home doesn't mean our 5 times daily faras salah. Woman must read at home, the 5 times daily faras salah a man must read in the masjid with jamaat. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, illuminate your homes with nur through performing salah, it is referring to the nafil salah. A person wakes up, he reads some tahajjud salah in their home, or he's reading the ishraq salah, or the salatul duha, the awabin salah, or any other nafil salah in the home. As soon as he's doing that, he's attracting that electric current. He's attracting that special divine nur which is illuminating the home. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that when a person is very particular and very paaband, meaning he's very punctual on reciting the Qur'an Majeed every day, this is what you call sahibul Qur'an, a man of the Qur'an. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said his home becomes so illuminated with nur that it becomes a beacon of light. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained in this hadith, he said how a person on earth can look into the heavens and millions of kilometers away you find the star illuminating the sky. And through the light of that star, a man on earth is able to navigate and gain direction. The man on earth who holds onto the Quran and recites it every day, his home becomes so illuminated that the angels in the heavens can take direction from this house on earth. In other words, this house is like a beacon of light. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu explained and said in the hadith that when the Qur'an Majeed is recited regularly in a home, what is the effect on that home? As we have been discussing, it means that home is going to become filled with nur. But what is the effect of that nur? He said, اِتَّسَعَ بِأَهْلِهِ. The first benefit a person will see is that home becomes very spacious. It does not mean that the walls are suddenly going to move from being 10 squares going to become 20 squares, no. It means this home becomes a comfortable home. Each person is not down the other person's throat all the time. Rather, that home becomes a home of comfort, a home of happiness. He says, Kathura khairu, that home becomes filled with barakah. Every type of barakat, every type of goodness now flocks to that home. That home is happiness. We find good deeds coming out of that home. We find the people of that home have a good reputation in society. We find that people love the people of this home. Every type of goodness will begin to emanate from this home. And hadaratul malaika, the malaika of mercy, the angels that protect, the guardian angels, the angels that make dua for you, the angels that bring the special rahmat and mercy of Allah Ta'ala, they begin to flock to this home. As a result of this, we find the inhabitants of that home, their hearts are united. It's a home of harmony and peace and happiness. And then Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu explained the converse. He said, when the Qur'an Majeed is not recited in the home, that home is void and bereft of the recitation of Allah's Kitab. Everything happens the opposite. He said, ضَاقَ بِأَهْلِهِ. That home becomes very constrained. The people in that home feel very uncomfortable. They don't want to be in that home. They just can't wait to leave the home. As soon as they are in that home, there's only fighting and arguments and every type of unhappiness. He says, قَلَّ خَيْرُ. There'll be very, very little goodness in that home. And حَضَرَتْهُ الشَّيَاطِينَ. Instead of that home being frequented by the malaika of mercy, the malaika of mercy will go far from that home, and on the opposite, we find the shayateen will begin to flock to that home and fill that home. Now obviously, when there's shayateen in the home, there will not be any goodness, there'll be fighting, there'll be arguments, and that home is basically like a ticking time bomb, just waiting to explode in every type of vice and sin and evil waiting to come out of that home. When you want to see the effect of the recitation of the Qur'an Majeed, in Bukhari Sharif there's a hadith mentioned of Hazrat Usayd bin Hudayr radiallahu anhu, that one night he's reciting, he's performing his tahajjud salah, and he's reciting Surah Baqarah. He's reciting slightly audibly. He has his horse next to him, and he's also got his young son who's asleep, who's lying on the floor. And as he's reciting, this horse begins to jump and move about. The sahabi immediately lowers his voice and the horse calms down. When he raises his voice with recitation again, The horse begins to jump about. So he lowers his voice again. The third time this happens, he begins to worry that this horse should not injure and trample my son. So he terminates his recitation and he completes his salah. And as he's moving his son out of harm's way, he happens to look up. And the sahabi sees something resembling a cloud filled with dots of light. And this cloud is rising up towards the heavens. The next morning he comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he explains what happened. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, Iqra yabna Hudayr, Iqra yabna Hudayr. O son of Hudayr, if only you had continued to recite. He says, Ashfaqtu ya Rasulullah, O Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I feared for my child's safety. That is why I terminated my recitation. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, do you know what that was? Tilka al-malaika danat li sawtik. Those were the malaika of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who had drawn near and close because they were attracted by the sound of your reciting the Qur'an Majid. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, had you continued to recite until the morning, people would have emerged from their homes, meaning for the Fajr Salah, and they would have been able to see these angels with their eyes. So this is the effect when a person holds onto the Qur'an Majid. He brings it into his life. In that very same hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, when that person passes away, the man of the Qur'an, Sahibul Qur'an, when he passes away, that Qur'an does not leave him. When he's put in his coffin as well, that Qur'an comes and it lies on his chest. It comes between him and the coffin, it comes onto his chest. When he's placed in the grave as well, he has his different good deeds around him, that Qur'an is there as well with him. When the angels come to question him, the Qur'an Majid stands in front and says, stay where you are. Question him if you want, but come no closer. He did not leave me through his lifetime. He always held on to me. Now that he is dead, I won't leave him until I do not enter him into Jannat. It is mentioned that Imam Abu Ja'far Madani rahmatullahi alayhi, one of the Imams of Qirat, a man who dedicated his entire life to upholding, preserving and teaching the Qur'an Majid. When he passed away and he was being given ghusl and being put in a coffin, those who were attending to him physically saw with their very eyes, with the naked eye, they could see that noor emanating from his chest, the noor of the Qur'an Majid. So one of the very, very great solutions to solving the problems in the home today, whether it's marital problems, problem between parents and children, problem with the lack of barakah, problem with shayateen being in the home and jinnat being in the home, something which is of very, very great assistance, which has left our lives today, is to bring that Qur'an Majid back into the home. We find, unfortunately, the Qur'an Majid has been replaced. It has been replaced and taken out. Replaced by what? Replaced by the cell phone. And this is for each person to look into his own life and see, am I guilty of this or not? This is a moment of introspection. There was a time when a person woke up in the morning and he would recite, Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana ba'dama matana wa ilayhi nushur. Now a person wakes up, the first thing he's looking for is messages and missed calls. There was a time when a person would go to the toilet, he would be conscious of the adab of the toilet. He would recite the dua before entering, make sure his feet, he's got something to wear on his feet, his head is covered, and he'd enter with the left foot. Now a person's in the toilet, there also is on his phone. There was a time people would eat as a family, and that brings harmony in the home, eat as a family. Now everybody is eating, they're all on the phone. And before going to bed, they're lying in bed, they're on the phone. And there's no family time anymore. Before, after eating, the family would sit, they discuss how was the day. Father and mother ask the children, what did you learn in school today? Today the father's on his phone, the mother's on her phone, and the children got their own phones. When this is the state of affairs, who got time for Quran? The answer is everybody has time for Quran. We need to take out that time. Everybody has that time. If you look at the amount of time a person spends looking at statuses, looking at news articles, looking at random this and that, perhaps without exaggeration, minimum 1 hour a day for any normal person. And the students in madrasa say for a teenager, it's sometimes 8 to 10 hours a day. Time spent on the phone, just looking at the phone. Can a person not take out at least 30 minutes a day as a start? That this is my time for connecting with Allah, to bring this noor into my home, to bring the kalam of Allah alive in my house. When all we're doing is looking at CNN and BCC and whatever else, and SABC and what else, where's the time to look at Allah's kalam? All those things are filling the home. We don't have Allah's kalam in our home. That is why all these kufr influences have entered the home and Allah's mercy and rahmat has become very, very far from the home. This is for us to think now, when am I going to start? What is my start? A person has to have a constructive approach to anything he wants to do in life. Niyat is very good. We must have niyat. But to say I'm going to do it is not enough. A man must have a plan. That every day I'm going to sit from this time to this time with my Quran. I'm going to leave my phone in the car. For example, he says, I'm going to sit from Asr to Maghrib. It's 45 minutes, it's 1 hour. For example, he says, I'm going to sit after Isha. Put the phone off, put it away. No distraction. Sit with the children. Tell them this is our time every day to take out for Qur'an-i Majeed. Let them sit and read. Let us sit and read. Let the entire home reverberate with the beautiful sound. Let it echo with Allah Ta'ala's words being recited. See how that home will transform in a very short period of time to a home of happiness, a home of Jannah. But we find that these are all dunyawi effects that we are seeing. In other words, a happy home, a happy marriage, obedient children, barakah in the home. But today one of the greatest fitnas that has come into every home is the fitna of people losing iman. We don't realize it, but iman is being lost. And to a large degree it is because of social media and the education system that our children are going through. The children are in school, what are they being taught in school? Many children are being taught that no, you are not descended from Nabi Adam alayhi salam, you are descended from an ape. Australopithecus and what. We pity those people. They are being taught these things which deprives a person of iman. If a person believes it, he cannot be a mu'min. He has beliefs that are against the beliefs of the Quran and Majid. Then they are being taught that a man can have a husband, a woman can have a wife. If a person believes that such a thing is permissible, the person will lose his iman. These are such dangers. And how are our children equipped to face this? We are too busy with our phone to even know what they are learning in school. But we find that something that will help to preserve that iman is to hold on to the Qur'an-i Majeed. Allah Ta'ala speaks in the opening verses of Surah Ibrahim in the Qur'an-i Majeed. What does Allah Ta'ala say? Kitabun anzalnahu ilayk. O Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Qur'an-i Majeed is a divine book. We have revealed it to you. And from all the numerous benefits of the Qur'an-i Majeed, Allah Ta'ala says, لِتُخْرِجَ النَّاسِ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. Through this Qur'an-i Majeed, you will take people out from darknesses to light. And the Mufassireen highlight a very, very interesting and beneficial point here. Allah Ta'ala says, Nur, which is a singular. Take people out from what? From darknesses to light. Because the forces of darkness are many. There's so many different breeds of kufr. So many different species of kufr. So many different types of sin. So many different types of darkness. But no matter how many types of darkness there is, a man lights one candle, he switches on one light, it's a solution to every darkness. That light is the light of the Qur'an-i Majeed. In the time, in India many, many years ago, there was a kufr fitna that started, and these people were targeting the Muslims, trying to make them lose their iman. It was known as the movement of Sudhi Sangtan. And unfortunately, many, many homes through this movement, plying their trade, and preaching to people and working on their many homes, people became murtad and they left Islam. But the ulama at that time made an interesting observation. They found that those homes where the people were safe, they were so as to say impervious and immune to the message of kufr. People could tell them what they wanted. They said, I'm a Muslim. Tell me what you want. I'm a Muslim. I'm not going to listen to you. I know what is my iman. I know Jannah, Jahannam. Alhamdulillah, my iman is safe. It was the home where people were holding firmly to the Qur'an-i Majeed. This Qur'an-i Majeed is that most dynamic ingredient, that missing key, which we need to bring back into our lives. Just one incident to conclude. It's mentioned that many, many years ago, there was a student who went to England to study some degree, and he was staying in a boarding home. And he had his room. Different students had their rooms. Some of them were Muslim, some were non-Muslim. But the student had a very, very good quality in his life. Every day he would take out time for the Qur'an-i Majeed. In that time, he would play a recording of the Qur'an-i Majeed. He would sit with a lot of respect and listen. And perhaps he would recite Qur'an-i Majeed as well. One day he gets a knock on the door. He opens his bedroom door. There's a very irate, very perturbed, disturbed woman standing outside. She's occupying one of the other rooms. She says, switch off that music you're playing because it's disturbing me. He says, first of all, it's not music. Second of all, I'm not playing it loudly, it can't possibly disturb you, and she goes away. Sometime later, a few days later, again the bang comes on the door, that you whatever this thing is you're playing in your room, it's disturbing my worship. He says, what worship am I disturbing? He's there, he's got some of his Muslim roommates from the other rooms, they were all sitting and they were making ta'aleem and they were listening to the Quran Majeed together. She says, come, I'll show you. And when they go to her room, she opens the door, she's got some bones, she's got a shrine dedicated to Shaitan, she's a Satan worshipper. She says, when you're playing that thing in your room, I can't make my ibadat. But this is what Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu was saying. We don't need some incident of the recent past when we have the hadith of Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, Hadaratul Malaika. When the malaika are flocking to a person's home, then most certainly that home will enjoy the special protection of Allah Ta'ala. Barakah will abound in that home. That home will be showered with the special mercy of Allah Ta'ala. People will go to sleep with a smile on their face. They'll wake up in the morning with a smile on their face. There'll be harmony and happiness in that home. May Allah Ta'ala fill all our homes with happiness and harmony and barakah. May Allah Ta'ala attach our hearts to the Quran Majeed and make it such that we commence our day with the recitation of the Quran. We recite during the day. We go to sleep with the recitation of the Quran Majeed on our lips. And may Allah Ta'ala make the Quran Majeed our special guardian and friend in the qabr as well. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.